Well, hey, Gundam Maniacs, welcome to the Gundam Explained Show Live. I'm your host, Adam Blue, and joining me, almost not, but I'm glad he did, because I didn't yesterday, so I get it. Steven Midnight Hatter, what's up, man?
Hey, yeah, you know, we didn't make a huge deal of it, but as it turns out, you dropped like a full, what do you call it? Like when you combine everything,
conglomeration
of your overall review of 8th MS Team. And I was like, I can't deal with this guy today. So I didn't even send you the stream invite.
No, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because I have been wanting to do something like that for a while. Cause I've come across YouTubers that do that. And I kind of like, oh, put this on in the background. Now I'm working. Look, you know, and because it's like 3 hours, that's a long time. But for someone that wants to just kind of sit and, what was neat about that when putting it together was like seeing the beard.
Yeah.
The whole time. Like what? But also I like some of the comments where people were really poking at me talking about the noses. And I thought that was funny.
But you're so right. Like, you know, the animation style, I know it's such a weird thing, or it seems like a weird thing to harp on, like the noses, but it does make a difference. Like,
yeah.
Having a more fully developed depth of nose.
But then I can understand if people grew up watching animation that looked a certain way, then for them, that's kind of the norm, you know? So like,
right.
I get it.
Hashtag nosegate.
Yeah. But in the chat, we've got Ian Hansen, our mod. Good to see you, man. Xionic Shadow, Neo X, hey. Ultronimus, Alex Fairweather, Jamkill X. That's awesome. Great to see everyone here. Let's see, Ian, I was like, I know it's been a second since I saw Adam, and it was like, whoa, he grew his beard back again. I didn't even think about it that way, where people would be like, wait a minute.
Beard? Yeah, right. He's got a serious 5 o'clock shadow going.
Yeah, I know.
But it's funny you mentioned that, because I actually did while I was working the other day. I don't know if you're familiar with a YouTuber by the name of Ink Ribbon, but he does like Resident Evil, you know, lore videos and stuff like that.
Okay.
And so he does.
Ink Ribbon.
Yeah. He's clever, right? That's a great channel name. I'm surprised that he beat everyone to it. So he, what he does is like, he used to do videos that were like 10 minutes long of like, oh, here's, you know, top five facts about Leon Kennedy. Here's top five facts about Chris Redfield and all that stuff. But then what he does is he combines them all into like an hour long video. That's like everything about Resident Evil 2. And it just is it's all of them kind of aggregated together. And
that
so
is cool.
Same thing that you did with, 8th.
Yeah.
So I loved it.
No, that's cool, because there's another Nostalgia Unboxed, another YouTuber. He does action figure reviews, and he had a compilation of the X-Men figures. So I had missed some of his the Mafex X-Men, I think it was. And that's always just fun, you know?
Yeah.
So that's cool. Yeah, and then you had a show yesterday. Obviously, I wasn't on. Mean Mug Gunpla was on there with you. I'm going to have to go back and check that out. Any details about it for maybe others that haven't checked it out?
Yeah, I mean, it was a fun conversation. You know, we talked about modeling. We talked about, you know, the old Toonami days and anime. But most importantly, he dropped some really awesome like toy photography tips and stuff like that, which I loved some of the ideas that he gave, especially for people that are like doing Gunpla photography on a budget, which is kind of like all of us, right? Because it's like we want to save our money for the toys. Like, we don't want to have to.
Good point.
So, you know, because he's working with a limited space, and, you know, we all kind of are working with limited spaces, this was the coolest trick is, you know, setting the ISO, like the shutter speed for your camera, like really, really slow. And then moving your light around so that you can like evenly distribute the light over time. And then that way you don't have any hot spots on the photo. I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah, that is some cool tips. I'm gonna have to check that out, because that's funny. Such a coincidence then that he was talking about that, because yesterday I busted out my camera for the first time in a while. I mean, my DSLR, old 2015, and for, you know, a reason. Oh, smeared. But it was for a reason not related to Gunpla, unfortunately. But, you know, for instance, I've been talking about Batman. I've been getting these Batmans with these custom capes. And the likeness is, that's probably going to be hard to see, is so well done that I've been actually practicing how to shoot in low light, or to really just capture the light where I want, where the photo is pretty much a shadow. I mean, if you guys are interested in seeing that in the Gundam Explained Discord in the collectibles, that's in the off topic. I posted a bunch of pictures of different Batman.
That's awesome. I was going to say, I was really impressed with it, especially like with that custom cape that you've got on that Batman.
Oh yeah, that's right. They're all custom.
Now, does that Batman fit in the McFarlane Batmobile?
No, it's very interesting. Well, actually, the 6-inch ones do. It came with a 7-inch, but the problem with the 7-inch McFarlane Batman is it has neck swivel.
Ooh, okay.
Batman doesn't have neck swivel. And so it looks, the cowl then goes in and it's like, that doesn't look like Michael Keaton. So anyway, what I have is the SH Figure Arts, and it fits in the Batmobile. The thing is, the Batmobile is not even to scale for what it's supposed to be and to scale for. I bought a conversion kit someone made for the McFarlane Batmobile. So
there you go.
Free Speech Geek Mondays with Kyle. That's where I'll talk more about that stuff. But
excellent.
But it's related just because of, like, I'm only doing this because of what I learned through Gunpla, you know, and I love it.
It's amazing how, like, transferable these skills are, and, you know, what you can borrow from one discipline into another.
I know. I love it. Ultronimus says, who needs a neck when you can turn your entire body whenever you need to talk? But it's funny because it's interesting because then that look just looks like an attribute to that Batman. Not that it's some sort of like mistake or error. You know what I mean? Even though it kind of is.
Yeah. You know, it kind of reminds me of like the stories, and we've talked about this before, where, RoboCop, which, man, if we don't bring up Exo Squad or RoboCop, is it a Gundam Explained show?
Right.
That's awesome. But yeah. You know, RoboCop, like the whole movements that, that Peter Weller were doing, you know, they originally wanted him to move all smooth like a snake, but then it wasn't until he got the costume on, it was like, oh, he can't move like that. So then they were like, let's work with it, robotic.
I love that. Again, working with limitations.
Yeah.
Always. But no, I see that the Xionic Shadow brought us something in the chat that we are going to talk about.
Hey.
Requiem for Vengeance is coming to Fortnite. You know, what's funny about that is, I tell you, like, what a funny coincidence when I was up at Bandai saying you should put Gundam in Call of Duty, and since Requiem for Vengeance is Unreal Engine 5, you should just make one of those games in Fortnite for Requiem for Vengeance. Just on the same level, you know, it's not that I thought of it. It's just, it's a good idea. So of course they're going to do it. And of course many people are going to think of it. So I have more details we'll get at to later, but we do have Requiem for Vengeance stuff to talk about in general.
A lot of news dropping, which, you know, perfect timing. It's like they knew that your show was going to happen tonight. They're like, we need to make some announcements.
Yeah, I know. Here. In fact, I have something else planned that hopefully we'll get to at the end, because it shouldn't take too long, but it'll be a good part of the show. Hint, hint, it's about the music. This is cool stuff to be able to talk about, like, hot off the press. So let's actually jump into it. I'm going to share my screen. Basically, this is the trailer 2 just came out for Requiem for Vengeance. That's kind of how this all, you know, what snowballed when I was like, okay, what's some new Gundam news? And so this trailer, let me just get my negatives out of the way real quick and maybe an explanation to it. By the way, did you watch this yet?
Yeah, I just caught it like just in time before the start.
Yeah, because it just landed. So the only problem I see, but it could be just related to the trailer, you know, cut as a trailer, is when the characters are talking, there's a disconnect between how it looks and the acting. Not the main female characters, that seems to be pretty good acting, but at the same time, I think because this is a trailer and it's animation, they are picking things and cutting things, allowing the voiceovers to linger in order to try to tell a story. I think that's why it then looks odd. What do you think?
I think it's partially that, and you do have a little bit of the uncanny valley thing going on with, you know, and Unreal Engine is fantastic. You know, over the past decade, they have really been pushing the boundary of, like, you know, realism and like graphical fidelity. But I think you and I have talked about it. Like, sometimes stylized characters are the way to go, not necessarily because you're, you know, it's not that it takes away from the seriousness of the story, but I think that when you reach that uncanny valley level of realism, especially, I mean, even like I said, we were just talking about Resident Evil and like the RE engine, when you look at sometimes the characters and their mouth movement doesn't quite look like what they're saying.
Yeah. You know what? That's a very good point, because there's sometimes where I feel what you're talking about, where it's okay, we have the ability to make something super realistic, but it's going to look odd, so we have to scale it back a bit. Actually, it's something about that. I recorded the Blue Gamer Bluecast this morning. I wasn't going to be around, so I recorded it last night, but it went live. But I was playing that new fan-made Tremors game, and they did added a lot of graphical effects and layers and stuff to kind of hide the fact that it would not look good looking super realistic. So they had to hide it a bit, right?
Yeah.
And I think, though, you're getting to a point with something as good looking as Requiem for Vengeance, because it looks really good, that once you get to the humans talking, it's going to look odd.
Yeah, because the mobile suits look fantastic.
Yeah, oh my God, that's the main thing.
Let's be honest, that's what we really want to see.
Watching this, they even had the...
What? Excellent pause, by the way.
I know. I'm trying to do that as we go. There's even the scene. I think it's actually coming up here really soon. Yeah, right here. Look at that. Look, this is getting better and better. The more that they're releasing stuff. So this is some sort of GM. It actually doesn't have that extra origin nozzle. And I know that there's been discussion about in lore, there actually were some GMs that did that. I think just Origin kind of made it where they all did or something.
Popularized it.
Yeah. So anyway, there's a scene where we see the Gundam standing next to the GM. So the cool thing right off the bat about that is it gives me the vibes of the Project V, right? Or for some reason, it's making me think of the Boys. But, the first Gundam, the three units, it was Project V, right?
Yeah, Operation V.
Operation V, there you go. I'm thinking...
V Project, Operation
V. Something like that.
So there are two different things. Well, and we can get into that. That's a whole lore thing, the Vinson Project, which is totally different than Operation Victory. We've talked about that on previous streams, where it was oh, man.
But yeah, that just...
had a lot of dogs in the fire.
Well, there's Temp V, and then what is the non-Temp V called?
I thought it was just Compound V.
Compound V. Okay, sorry. Okay. Yeah. So Compound V, and then there's Temp V, right? Yeah. That's what I was thinking when I first saw this. But so what's cool is, though, we see the GM, we see the Gundam, and then later on, unless that was earlier, there's a gun tank.
Yes.
Oh, and here it looks like the Zaku has chainmail or something on it.
Which is crazy. But the thing is I think that there's probably a context in the movie that would make sense, right?
It could be an outer layer of armor, but it has the inner armor parts or something. But again, this is the stuff we like. They're adding those little... I was watching a video and the guy explained it. It's gadget porn. The idea that in these types of sci-fi shows, there needs to spend time showing characters interacting with the technology as part of the story. And this guy had to do with an Acolyte video where he's saying in the Acolyte, they don't do that. There is no gadget porn. They actually messed it up by having them use metal detectors. Remember when I don't know if you heard, the Wookiee was using a metal detector in Acolyte. It's why would you do that in a Star Wars universe?
Right. Well, and that's one of the things that you and I have talked about, that Gundam has done so well, even from the 70s, where it's how do they guide ships into docks and ports? It's they have these lasers that they guide them in with.
Yeah.
And they have these trams that, there's so many little, what would you call them, micro scenes, where that's B-roll footage of characters interacting with the different machinery.
World building. I always see it as just world building. But I think there should be a more specific name to that type of world building. And maybe it is gadget porn. Maybe it's... something else, but here's another shot. So we're seeing a GM that looks like a if I'm not mistaken, a GM command type. Is that what I'm thinking?
The head has the command type head, but it does, it's everything about this kind of has a different vibe to it. It does bear more of a resemblance to the Gundam to the Gundam EX than to something in established universe, right?
Especially seeing the chest, the shield. And I like that we see a lack of armor in some areas.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that helps kind of sell the idea that what we're seeing are just another time where there was these prototypes out there that, you know, like, that's why they have these looks to them.
And come on, I know you're a sucker for the crest in the middle of the chest, right?
Oh, exactly. That's like the perfect way to design these things. So because good. It's trying to, you know, they're trying to show off their power, like who they belong to. Anyway, just like watching this trailer, like there's just so many different scenes of the type of action I want to see. You know, we saw a Zaku 2 potentially get cut in half earlier.
Yeah.
We see these Zakus, and I love like the red shoulder and it says Zeon on the side, you know, doing a unique take to the real type markings. That shot was just cool where just like they're fully realizing what we want to see in Gundam using cutting edge, you know, CGI that would have to be, you know, considered even in like live action filmmaking. That's how close these things are getting. Looks better than the Flash. You know, the time orb scenes or whatever.
Well, that's not setting the bar too high for them. But honestly, if you were to take this CGI and put it with live action actors, then that would be the Gundam movie that we want, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it, because you can't look at those, the CGI effects and be like, oh, it looks like a PS2 game, like we kind of do with other things that. And I would even say, like, even to maybe your point, there seems to be a consistent degree of abstraction, maybe around the eyes in general, where the characters kind of do escape that uncanny valley slightly. And I do think it's like how, yeah, the eyes do have more of a anime look,
yeah, even if it's slightly enlarged eyes.
Yeah, that might help.
That's, oh, there's your gun tank.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, every still of the characters looks fantastic. It's only when their faces are moving, right?
Yeah, it's true. And you know what? That could be a good thing, because what if it's cheaper when you're producing a CGI Gundam thing that not have voice acting as much and not have characters animating mouths? So they're like, okay, we're going to focus on the action.
Yeah. Which,
although I will admit, though, from the story they're trying to tell or the bits we have in the trailer, I do find it interesting what they're doing with the characters, because we have the Zeon pilot who is, you know, we're going to learn from what her perspective of being with Zeon is, but just knowing she's with Zeon and seeing this Gundam as a threat, like from a horror movie, like Jason, that's how I'm looking at the Gundam EX. It's Jason, you know,
and treating it like, you know, as the title implies, it's a vengeance story. Like something happens that this pilot, this Zeon pilot, is wronged somehow. And so, you know, she's got this like Captain Ahab vibe to her where it's like, that Gundam is my white whale and I'm going to bring it down. And it's like, oh yeah, you look at the Gundam EX, it's totally white, like Moby Dick. Like it's, this and they're
naming it the White Devil.
Yeah.
You know, even though that's been used before, but they're like really leveraging that here. I like your interpretation.
I mean, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I think that this is a very like literary take on a Gundam story, and I'm here for it. Like,
I as well. Like, and I think they said that it is going to come out October
17th.
Was 17th? Awesome.
Yeah.
So that's actually in line with what I remember. Someone posted that on either. It was either a comment or something, and I was like, how do you know? But they knew.
You know what?
Okay, let's see. Okay, so let me finish off what we were looking at here with this trailer, just because, like, everything, like, look at that. Like, that's what I want to see. It just cut. So what's interesting is during this scene where, I mean, how easy is it for a Zaku pilot to cut a giant, you know, round in half? Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, they were talking about new types during the scene, so I wonder how much that's going to play into this, if they're bringing it up. And I don't mind. And I wonder how they introduced the new type concept. In fact, the way they spoke about it was, you know, moving into space, how we're evolving, we're able to understand our intentions better. It's doing it in a very grounded way that is maybe trying to set up then this concept in the live action movie. Because I think it's a good idea to do that. Try to set up the new type theory.
Yeah, set up like, really just kind of create a frame of reference for people to potentially latch onto. And especially, you know, Well, man, so recently I've been seeing like a lot of awesome like Dragon Ball Z, you know, I guess it's just like Dragon Ball Z appreciation posts on Twitter and stuff like that. And one of the things that I always love was that, you know, there's two versions of like becoming a Super Saiyan, right? Like you have the Goku version, which is, you know, he watched his friends get killed and he like had this intense desire to protect everyone. And then that was what kind of awakened his Super Saiyan-ness. But then you had Vegeta, who it was like, oh, no, I found another way. It's like I used my anger and it's like the Jedi and Sith, right?
Yeah, I was about to say it's really cool how all this stuff is kind of rooted in just like the potential of human emotion.
Exactly.
That's very cool stuff.
And so if you think about that in new type theory, you know, it's like you have someone like Amuro who, you know, he became a new type as a result of protecting the people on White Base and everything. But then Char, in his quest for vengeance against the Zabbies, also had that awakening. But it's like two different sides of the same empathic coin.
Yeah, it's like that coming to God moment, you know, that people have, like that awakening, and that's it, directly translated to how someone could potentially be a new type. I find that great, the fact that we can explain what was done in 1979 like in a way that today can work without being too far-fetched.
Yeah.
I tell you, when I remember when they were first bringing up new type stuff, when I first watched Gundam, I was like, here we go. and by the end, I was like, you know what? I'm surprised that they didn't go all schlocky with space magic.
Yeah, I think that they knew that they were kind of borderline there, and they reeled it back in.
Yeah, so that's good then. Oh, look at this shot. This is when Jason has his hockey mask destroyed and his eye is, I mean, that's literally what they're doing.
That's it.
I love this. Like, this looks great. And I love how they ended that trailer too, doing it like that, where it's like damaged, but then the confidence of just staring down, you know, the camera and then bam, Gundam Requiem for Vengeance.
Excellent.
I am hyped.
Yeah, I mean, this has been such a mixed bag of like, you know, ups and downs, where it's like, oh man, is this something to get excited about? Well, it kind of looks weird, and like there's a little too many greebles on the mobile suits, and then it's like, oh well, no wait, the animation's pretty good. Well, the character animation is not that great, but the trailer's awesome.
Yep. Sorry, dogs are going a little crazy.
That's okay. I've got the old kitty here. Kitty.
Oh my God. It sounds like the dogs. No, we have some guests coming.
Oh, cool.
This episode, this part of the show is brought to you by Kibbles and Bits. let me move on to this next thing. It's related. Like, okay. So this news also dropped. This is, Fortnite finally getting Gundam stuff, and it's Requiem for Vengeance. So here's what's really cool, and I don't know how easy it is for people on the stream to see the details. I love that there's an interpretation here.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks the same, but it also looks just unique enough. Like, it's the same thing, right? But it's like,
they definitely like used some Fortnite shaders or something like that. Like they might have taken the same 3D model and just like retextured it or something for Fortnite.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a good point. So let's say they had whatever they had built for the Unreal Engine 5 movie portion of it. And then in Fortnite, they're always updating. Yeah. The graphical stuff post-processing. So they probably have all that slapped on to kind of give it that. It's almost like a hyper realistic CGI, you know, like, yeah. Cause it's video gamey. So let me read what this says it is, okay? Gundam Requiem for Vengeance will launch as a game within Epic Games Fortnite in connection with the October 17th release of Netflix's anime series of the same name. From Bandai Namco Entertainment America and Look North World, blah, 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 blah. Oh, wait. The Unreal Engine 5-powered island within the online Fortnite platform will be a free activation where players... blah, blah, blah.
Activation?
Yeah, I'm not understanding what it's trying to say here. Started by one of the founding members of Bungie, the creators of Halo.
Yeah.
Which there's that Halo and Gundam connection, but I don't know. Anyway, per the description, during matches, players will power up their faction's respective mobile suits by collecting points and assists for their team. Once powered up, a pilot is chosen from each team to unleash the awesome destructive power of their team's mobile suit, the Gundam EX, you know. So what's interesting about that is that reminds me of Star Wars Battlefront, Battlefront 2. I think they all did it, where it was...
You had the hero character that could drop.
Yeah, but you, like, couldn't be it at first. Like, it... So it's interesting that they're doing that here, because that was kind of a first thought. Like, how do you get away with, like, the hero suit? So that's... The last time I was really playing a lot of Gundam Battle Operation 2 was when they released those series battles where... And I remember I would play Jaburo, and I happened to be the RX-78-2, and I was like, whoa! And then someone was the Zagok, and I had, like... That type of stuff could happen here, which is cool. And
yeah,
here's my expectation. I'm not expecting this game to be like amazing, but it's fun. I'm sure it's going to be a fun little thing.
You know? I'm just so glad that it's not skins. Like,
well, just skins.
Yeah. You know, they actually went out of their way to make it something that's, you know, a game within the game, as opposed to, you know, just like, hey, you know, you can run around as a Zaku. Like, because for how cool the Call of Duty skins looked, it's like you're still just playing Call of Duty. You're not.
Yeah. So it's interesting because it had a sort of like 13-day challenge where, depending on how much points you get like other skins, or not like skins, but like stickers, decals on your gun.
Yeah.
After 2 days, I was like, well, it's just Call of Duty. You know, I'm glad I bought the RX-78-2 skin and I have it now. And now Modern Warfare 3 is on Game Pass. So that's cool. But so that's the thing. Like, it looks like these are going to be skins for sure, I am going to buy them. But I wonder if they'll also have like the OG, like RX-78-2, maybe Ariel, you know. So
that'd be pretty sweet. And again, since all of the Bandai Gundam games going forward seem to be in Unreal Engine 5, like, it seems to me like it'll be easier to do that.
Every time something comes out, they can promote. But do you think, though, that they have to have the RX-78-2 skin either at the same time? Or do you think, like, I wonder?
I mean, I think I love the way that this is timed perfectly with the Requiem for Vengeance.
Kind of keeping it focused on that.
Because if we were to drop the RX-78-2 skin, then it would take away from this, right?
Dude, so yeah, perfect point.
If the live action movie does end up being a UC movie, which I'm not into, I don't think it's going to be like a direct one to one.
Well, let's bet on that.
Okay.
I'm not good. How do you bet? I'm just going to say, I think it's going to be 90% sure it's going to be UC retelling.
I disagree. I think it's going to be, even if it is like the original story, I think it's going to be reimagined in some way.
Okay. And I cut you off because you were going to say, when the live action movie comes out, if it is UC, they would then do it then, which you're right with that too. So yeah, good point. But I want to go back to that real quick because, and then let me.
Okay. Ian says loser buys the other a kit. So there we go.
I like that. Okay. Good deal. Ian will keep us to that. So, the other thing is interesting is, you know, that movie Sin City, and we were kind of talking about Frank Miller recently.
Yeah.
Cause I had no idea that what it was is Robert Rodriguez wanted Frank Miller to direct, but he couldn't.
Right.
I guess because you have to be like in a guild or something. I don't know. It sounds like Union RPG. Fan. What are they doing? Yeah, so, exactly. So what he did was he just had him on set with him because the idea was to shoot the graphic novel as the movie shot by shot. And that's how I've always envisioned.
And you saw Frank Miller's cameo in the movie, right?
No, I don't know. Cause I didn't know what he looked like. I didn't really know anything about Frank Miller.
Frank Miller dies at the beginning of Sin City.
Oh, okay. I'll have to check it out again. Because you know, back when I watched it was, I remember when around that time it came out, where it was like all these movies were doing these like crazy, like CG.
The 300.
Art. Yeah, exactly. And so I appreciated that a lot. That is like, it worked. You know what I mean? Like I don't know if it made a lot of money, but you know, it was an interesting thing. So when I think of them making a live action Gundam movie based off the original UC Gundam, my thoughts are stuff like that. Like just reenacting the scene of them coming, or Amuro coming across the Zaku coming out of the trees, like filming when the RX-72 first comes down after cutting that Zaku in half, and then there's the explosion behind him, and they even shoot it like you, in a movie, because it's all slow right then. The explosion, like everything is being impacted, and
So
I would hope the idea is Jordan Vaught Roberts is doing this Gundam movie because IMDb says it's an adaptation, and they shoot it shot by shot.
That would be the best case scenario.
But
I don't know. You know, it'll be hard to say.
Here's another thing I want to keep in mind. I wonder if sometimes when I look at movies studios are putting in production, can we glean from it maybe some technology that's being tested or prototyped or pushed, you know? Like Avatar is known for that, Episode One, Matrix, you know, could that be something for Gundam? And but you, my thought would be, how can you really make a giant robot look convincing, you know, a military machine, because it never does. Right. Pacific Rim, none of that looked convincing. That was just schlocky fun, you know.
And you know, a lot of the current Hollywood tricks, like the volumetrics, you know, screens and stuff like that, they've been using for like Mandalorian stuff, you can't do that with Gundam because it's, you know.
And even, you know, there is, and I think it's like how old green screen is now for people, but like early volume stuff, it doesn't look, even now volume stuff doesn't look anywhere as good as like the real thing. You can see that like with shots of Acolyte or Andor that are on location. The other example is in the Flash movie, because that's on my mind. In the Batcave, the waterfall from the outside of the Batcave was just a giant screen.
Yeah.
Which is neat, you know, so they don't waste water, instead it's electricity.
Yeah. There you go. Which is probably a hydroelectric dam, so ipso facto water. Well, you know, it's very cool. I love mixed media approaches to these things, right? Like, I love going back and watching like the old Lord of the Rings special edition features and stuff, where it's like, oh, here's the shot that we got in New Zealand, and then here's the miniature version of the castle that we just like superimposed behind everything and like layered it out so that it looks like they ride up to the castle.
You know what? That's a really good point. That I think that's another angle this live action Gundam movie could take, is the miniatures. Because I was just showing my youngest how even modern movies use miniatures when you don't think so. And an example, I think, was a Dark Knight movie where the Batmobile is driving in like a garage and it like goes underneath a truck and knocks it over. Those were all miniatures.
And which is perfect.
It's amazing. Yeah, because it looks real. And I think that maybe is the idea. They, just like with Star Wars, they build model kits of Gundam and then blue screen them. Full circle.
It's got to be master grade at minimum, right?
It has to. Or real grade. Yeah.
There you go.
Perfect grade. But
yeah.
Oh, Jamkill X with the 10. Thank you very much. Okay, so if they stay on the theme of main UC, it'll be the Grandpa GM, Zaku 2 and Gelgoog, so people can just recreate a Bawaku or something. Also dancing mobile suits and drinking slurp juice. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I wish I could do my Fortnite dance with the Gelgoog.
Yeah, no, that's funny. Recreate a Bawaku. Honestly, that's cool. It was just reminding me of this Tremors game I was talking about, where it's just that little town in Tremors. You could walk around, recreate it. It feels neat. Being able to, I would be down with that. Especially, I wonder, and I don't know this, if those assets are then available when I'm using the Fortnite editor, and then maybe can make your own thing, because there's games people make in Fortnite that are pretty amazing that my son will show me, so I'll have to check that out. But thanks again, Jamkill X.
Cheers, Jamkill.
Also a regular on the Blue Gamer Bluecast morning show, so thank you. Let's see. I think there's another thing I was going to talk about, but why is there an ad here? Guys, we're not going to talk about it.
Yeah. Requiem for Vengeance. I don't know. Is there another Requiem for Vengeance crossover event that got announced today?
Is there?
No, I'm just kidding.
I was about to say, like, oh my God.
Maybe it's an underwear line. Like, I don't know.
But then I realized, because of San Diego Comic-Con, that it can explain why we got all this news. I forgot it was San Diego Comic-Con stuff. Although I didn't forget because I just ordered the two exclusive Street Fighter action figures from Jada Toys website. So I knew it was. Speaking of things to get, Pizza Hut China is going to have a exclusive model kit that you can buy on their app. Limited edition, only 3,000. So that's going to be highly sought after, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I could use a VPN to get into China, but then I would be totally hacked. No, I don't think that would work anyway. But you know what? They're just going to recreate these because the McDonald's RX-72 you can easily get, like, on AliExpress.
Nobody out Gundams the Hut, all right?
Yeah, so, you know, looks pretty neat. Not my thing, but I just feel like this would be a collector's item.
Honestly, I'm a little disappointed. I feel like they could have pushed the Pizza Hut branding a little bit further than just, you know, the colors. And then it's like really a tiny little sticker there. That's it.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, we can't really fit anything on this SD. It's like, well, whose idea was it to have an SD? But Pizza Hut, you know.
Yeah.
That's neat. Pizza Hut did Ninja Turtles as a kid. You know, it was Pizza Hut and Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
And now it
made sense.
Yeah.
Because the turtles ate pizza all the time.
Right. But remember, we're living in my world. Now that I'm an adult and into Gundam, Pizza Hut is doing Gundam.
And yet you still don't have any stars on your book it card.
That's good. All right. So something else we're going to get into, actually. Yeah, it's about that time anyway. This is something I posted up on the YouTube channel, and it's being kind of hidden by this thing right here. What are your top three favorite Gundam soundtracks? I think Gundam music is great across all series, so it'd be neat to see everyone's top spots. So let's go down the list so then, Steven, you can think of it.
I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, no problem. We got Voodoo GTR3. Oh, that would be hard to narrow down. Intro, outro, OSTs? I didn't answer. And that was 6 days ago. I'm sorry. Okay. Next up, Gus Miller 974. The Witch from Mercury, Crescent Moon, and Trans Am Riser. So
those are specific songs.
Yeah. What do we know what Crescent Moon is from? If anyone in chat knows, let me know.
Yeah. I mean, my first instinct would be like, you know,
Moon Gundam, something but then it didn't have a...
Yeah, that's a manga.
So Double Zeta.
There you go. It's probably a Mondo. It's Mondo's theme. We'll call it Mondo's theme.
It's Mondo's theme now. Oh, IBO. Thanks, Twist.
No.
Let's see. We got Big Beer 0288YT. Mobile Suit from Unicorn. Oh, yeah. That song,
that Mobile Suit good.
From Unicorn. Is amazing because it actually has actual acoustic, like drumming, like on a drum kit. And, you know, I like to drum. So it's like, oh, my God. Anyway, Men of Destiny from 0083. That is great. And a tie between Ignited and Freedom from Seed, Destiny and Seed Freedom. OK.
Yeah.
Azure 8696, Romantic Mode from Gundam X, Men of Destiny 0083, Winner 0083. Mm-hmm. Seesaw from stuff from Gun Seed. I don't know. Seesaw, Invoke, and then Ending from 8th MS, and then all of Gundam Thunderbolt OST. Oh, wait, that's more than three. You know, I'm joking. Soundtracks because, people, I guess it's okay to pick a music, a music or a song. Okay.
Pick a music,
pick a music. Any music. Why don't you? It reminds me of like there's this guy I was friends with like way back in the day when there was MySpace. And I would look at, you'd look at someone's profile. What are they saying? It's like, what your favorite music? And he put anything with sound. It's like, it's pretty good. I mean, you got me there.
So. It's pretty well defined.
Yeah. Neo X. I don't got a top. My mom would have slapped me if I said I don't got a top three, but I hope you don't mind maybe five, bro. See, he even said, I'm going to give you five. And
yeah,
of course. Okay, so Meijin Taiju no Flamenco. Okay, Gundam Build Flyer. I think I did pretty good there, but
yeah. And that's two languages.
There's something else from Gundam Build Fighters. Saki-sen from Gundam Seed, another one from Gundam Seed, and then the Gundam Unicorn theme, Banshee theme from Gundam Unicorn. There is a sixth spot, if you don't mind, Allied Force from Gundam Build Fighters. So before I forget, my favorite track, and I think it's from, I know Seed has a good one, but Destiny has the one where Shin, the song where Shin first, when he launches, there's like a song that plays for him, right?
Yeah.
And it's like really good. It's like super like epic, like Star Wars-y. All right, Fat Tiger, not an answer. Okay. But I do have a question that is related. Okay. Is anyone else disappointed by Yoko Kanno's score for Turn A Gundam? It isn't bad, but it isn't necessarily as good as her work on Macross Plus or Macross Frontier or Ghost in the Shell, which all have phenomenal scores that really stand out. Turn A's soundtrack is still good, but it isn't remarkable like her other work. So I would say that's a kind of a good way to describe it, actually. It is good, but it actually doesn't stand out. You know what I mean?
And I think the reason for that is kind of a... I don't think that, with all due respect to Yoko Kanno, she didn't quite get the mood that Turn A was supposed to evoke. You know what I mean?
Yoko Kanno,
like, nailed it when it came to, like, Cowboy Bebop, because Cowboy Bebop had, like, this is the culture, right? It's, like, space cowboys, bounty hunters, like, you know, jazz. It's all of these things. So it's like there was a vibe there that she could work off of and be like, hey, yeah, I got it. But with Turn A, it's like, what are you supposed to do with like turn of the century, post-apocalyptic, but reinvented as like Victorian culture?
Right.
You know, how do you nail that down into a musical style, right?
That's a very good point, because it is a very unique style in general, like just in terms of the visuals. So, yeah, the music, yeah, because I remember listening to the music. It's good music, but, yeah, it never really hit. So that is a good point, Fat Tiger.
Yeah, it's just a vibe that she didn't pick up on.
A vibe, yeah. A vibe. And that's what we're going to get into when I start talking about my top three.
Yeah.
Here we go. The top three for Yormi Castro is Zeta Gundam. I kind of...
Nailed it.
I'll go with that.
That's it.
And then for Jonatron 800, Sacrifice from Shar's Counterattack, Z Tokyo Woe... From Zeta Gundam, which I think I know what that is. Yeah, and
that's Sasuke the opening credits.
What's up?
That's the opening credits from Zeta Gundam.
Ah, no wonder it looked familiar. And then Sasatoru Shar from Mobile Suit Gundam, honorable mention Soldier from O8th MS team. By the way, sorry for leaving midstream yesterday. No problems. I know how it is. I know how life is.
Yeah.
I wasn't even on Steven's stream yesterday. And trust me, I got an earful.
Yeah. He didn't even comment and apologize for not being there.
Okay. So... then did that give you enough time to think of what your top three are, or would you want me to go first?
Yeah, you know, okay. So if we're going to go like question as asked, right? Of course my top is going to be Zeta Gundam. Mostly because I just love those fat bass lines.
Yes.
You know, when you hit that like, bow, 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 bow,
yes.
That's so good, especially when they're like launching out of the Argama.
Yes.
The second one, I think this is going to be a surprise to most people, but my second favorite soundtrack is actually IBO.
Oh, cool. That's why you were so offended when I said I didn't care about the music. You're like, you don't care about the music?
No, I love the flamenco guitar. And it does like, especially when it's on Mars, it's got this, evokes this like desert theme that I think is really...
It's
awesome, and it's unlike anything other Gundam series have done, right?
Yeah, that's a good one, and I think I'll appreciate it more as I go.
Yeah, and then last one for me is Shar's Counterattack.
Oh, good one.
Because I think that so much of, because Unicorn has fantastic music. That would be my honorable mention is Unicorn, but I think that so much of Unicorn's music is informed and inspired by Shar's Counterattack, where it's like, you know, you have these big epic set piece orchestra moments. But I think that Shar's Counterattack, I think that they're more memorable because they're more melodic.
Yeah, right. It's more of like the Star Wars style. Yeah.
You know, you listen to a Star Wars track and you know that it's from Star Wars. If you listen to Unicorn, great tracks, but I've said this before, where it's like sometimes you can listen to Sawano's work on Unicorn, and then you can listen to Sawano in Attack on Titan, and it's the same thing. You can swap them out, and it doesn't make a difference. But No,
that's a good point with the Unicorn music, because it's like Turn A, where it's really good music, but not too much of it is memorable, other than so-and-so pointed out, the song Mobile Suit. Because for me, like, I'm a drum person, so when I hear drums in orchestrated music, it just blows my mind. So for mine, yeah, number one is Zeta Gundam. Again, like you said, not only do I like the bass lines, but I also like the drumming that's used throughout a lot of the tracks. Great drumming. I like the music that transitions between maybe like going to a ship and it's like zooming in and it's going dun 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 dun, you know, like that.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and then a do.
There was almost like a Titans theme. It's not called this, but it's like, I think in the soundtrack description, it's actually called Fleet Battle, but it's like the Titans theme.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Good stuff. And I even had you listen to that where I was trying to recreate, you know, in FL Studio, cause I wanted to have my own music on the channel that sounds awesome. So I got the drumming and the bass line down, but like the actual like trumpets or whatever, it's off.
I think that you nailed like 5 out of the 7 notes. It was like, you knew exactly where it was going. I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah,
but I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, I want to tweak that because I want to use it on the channel. Hopefully, not get strike. Because like, hey, I made it, you know. But Zeta is definitely number one for me. I would say number two for me is the original.
Okay,
even though it's a little more goofier of the time, but it so sells what I am watching.
Definitely,
it puts me in that mood. The intro is like this upbeat, you know, like a disco song or whatever. But it's
Boy, I got him.
Yeah, but it's like a good song, you know, which is, it's interesting. It's just a really good catchy song. But then, you know, just throughout, like the mood it sets. Like, that's funny. That reminds me. I forget when this was, but I just decided, you know, me and my wife were just laying in bed. She's on her phone. I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna watch Zeta again. And then the music,
as one does.
Yeah, as one does. The music starts playing and she goes, oh, what are you watching? Because the music just evokes, like, I don't know what it is. It was the scene at the beginning where Fa is running or something. And I think it like in the woods.
Oh,
and it
plays like Noah theme.
It's very. There's something about it, you know, that's really cool. But, and then the third, my top, that one would be really hard. It probably Stardust Memory.
Yeah.
Because it has a lot of rock centered stuff, drums, but it also has like epic orchestrated stuff. It even has what, I don't know if in the 80s, this was like some sort of royalty free music you could use or shared. Like, you know, there's a song that's also featured in another movie.
Yeah.
And it's just a cool, epic, like sounding battle song, and it's cool.
I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the things that Mean Mug and I talked about yesterday was, you know, he brought up that theory about like 8th MS Team being a movie in universe. Like, oh, this is just like a romance movie that people during the 1 year war were watching. Mm-hmm. And he was like, if that is the case, then 0083 is like the jingoistic, like, it is the Top Gun movie of the Gundam
universe.
So people are going and watching like, man, did you see that actor that played Ko Uraki? That was awesome. Like,
yeah. Oh, the fact that the Federation had this evil Gundam with a nuke on it and it got stolen. Like, that's like Hunt for Red October.
You know? Yeah. Or like Broken Arrow. I mean, there's.
Yeah. Broken Arrow is a good. Yeah. That's pretty cool too. I like that.
Basically what we've deduced is that all Gundam anime is a in-universe Gundam movie.
Yeah. Like, but after what? Double Zeta?
I don't know. What would, like, where would that fit in the timeline? Like,
I know.
Cause the thing is, I mean, we've been watching World War II movies in real life since World War II, basically. Wow. Like,
and a lot of times people are relying on that for like what their vision or what they think World War II is, you know?
Yeah. Which
to some degree it is, but like, it's gotta be different than actually being there.
Well, it's hilarious to me that even to this day, you know, if you scroll through Twitter and, you know, whether it's Gundam, whether it's like any anime or video game, they're like, just make Band of Brothers, but in this universe, like, yeah. Just make Band of Brothers, but Marvel, just make Band of Brothers, but Gundam. Like, it's like, man, like, I like Band of Brothers, but
didn't you tell me you watched it again recently?
Yeah. Yeah. My wife and I watched through it again.
And it's still good.
Yeah, man. It holds up.
Because do you ever get it where sometimes you'll watch a show you loved and you'll watch it again and it doesn't hit in the same way?
Yeah, I definitely... What was it?
For me, it was The Wire.
Ooh, yeah.
Maybe because I already knew what was going to happen because there are big moments that it was like, well, eh.
Yeah.
I love that show.
It can be tough with stuff like that. And I wonder, you know, I've never gone back and watched like early seasons of Game of Thrones, but I imagine it'll be the same if I tried to do that, because there's so many of those tentpole moments in the books that it's like, oh, you know, I'm just biding time until I get to this spot.
You know, that reminds me, one show that is better when you go back to it is Burn Notice.
Because, yeah.
And it's weird because there's multiple layers to it. One, it's just great to see Bruce Campbell just do his thing.
Always.
But the other thing is,
or well, Agent Ash.
Yeah, Agent Ash. Oh, I like that. But the other interesting thing too is, as every time there would be a new season, it's almost like the showrunners knew, like, what's the best thing to do for a next season. You know, first season was fun. Second season, we upped the production value. Third season, okay, let's start getting some A-list actors to come in to show up all the time. Everyone from Battlestar Galactica. Galactica, I think, shows up in Burn Notice.
Yeah, which is a funny crossover there.
Yeah,
well, and then kind of like Eric Kripke with The Boys. It's like half of the Boys cast ends up being people from Supernatural. I mean, yeah. Like, you get the inside joke with like the guy Singer from The Boys, right?
No,
like Robert Singer, the congressman that's running for president in The Boys. So in Supernatural, there's a character, Bobby Singer, that is the like uncle of the, well, you know, he's not related, but he's like, they call him the uncle of the two main characters, and he helps them throughout the series. And in real life, his name is like, I think it might not be Robert Singer, but it is something Singer. And so it's like
the same actor.
Yeah, same actor, same everything. So it's like Eric Kripke and this guy Singer, like they have this like ongoing relationship where they just work together and everything.
Wasn't that actor in a show that was like a dark show? Was it Justified or something, where he was like a mayor or a sheriff and then he was being blackmailed to like keep the status quo, but he didn't want to be involved? I don't know if that sounds familiar, but that's what I recognize the actor from. He's almost playing almost the same thing. It's like a politician that has to come up against like his life, you know, which is,
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to look that up actually.
No one's correcting me. Jim Beaver's the actor's name. Yeah.
Oh, Jim Beaver. Well, actually then let me look it up real quick.
To confirm if he was on Justified.
Yeah. Cause he was on Deadwood. So that could then lead to Justified. Yep, that's him.
There you go.
The only similarities between Deadwood and Justified is Timothy Oliphant, as far as I know. There could be more, but
yeah.
Which, speaking of actors that could be in a Gundam movie, I feel like Timothy Oliphant could be Kai Shiden if he was younger. But
yeah.
Just kind of like that sarcastic kind of way he has about him, you know.
Oh yeah, and I think he could even pull off like the gray hair. If you ever saw his cameo in that TV show, The League.
I loved that show.
Oh yeah.
I think I stopped because I think it was about sports, right? And I don't care about sports.
Yeah.
But wasn't it where, yeah, and these guys, and they would always get into trouble and
yeah,
wow, that was a good show.
I mean, it was basically like It's Always Sunny, but instead of working at a bar, they're doing fantasy football. So
I'm going to have to watch that again because,
oh yeah,
that is a funny show. Totally forgot about it. But I heard, I think one of the lead actors, and it's kind of cool that he came out about this. Like, I think he lied that he was in 9/11. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't.
It was more of like he happened to be in a situation where he said something and he didn't mean to, but then he just went along with it just because everyone's reaction. And at that moment, he didn't want to seem like a douche. So then he kind of just kept up with it for a while. And then eventually he had to say, guys, I really wasn't. It just, he like went on a show to like talk about it, which
got in too deep.
That happens to people, you know, like you could accidentally, it's like one of those things where it's like, you don't want to tell the truth because you don't want to hurt someone's feelings, but by lying, you're, you know, yeah, that's a tough situation. I feel for that guy. Let's see. I think that's about it. That was pretty good. But I want to say, though, I think we can agree the consensus is that Zeta has the best soundtrack.
Yeah. I mean,
no, I didn't say anything else.
Yeah. Take it to you. No. Well, yeah. I mean, I saw a lot of people dropped like seed tracks in the comments, which,
yeah, there was a lot of that.
Like,
yeah.
Honestly, the music in Seed, is, especially like the openings and closings, are. You know.
It's good stuff. That is the truth. And also in Gundam Wing. Gundam Wing also does a good job of the music. It doesn't like fit the campy tone, but it then makes the campy tone seem that more, oh, serious stuff is happening. You know, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think that's about it. That was a lot of fun, everyone. I love this new software I'm using. It's based on that other software I was using, but it's like a web interface, so it's like less stress on me, so I can just focus on the show. I think that's why I was hyperactive today. I was like, this is
amazing. Yeah, I don't have to like produce my own show.
Oh, I know. Having all these windows up all the time, it's just one thing, and it's the same software. I think that's even being used on our show Monday. That's right, on Mondays, Steven, Kyle from Simply New Type, have the Free Speech Geek Weekly. So check that out. That's so if you want to get more stuff that's not Gundam.
We ought to call it Free Speech Geekly.
Oh my.
Look at that. The branding's right there.
You just did it. You did it again. You can't keep getting away with this. I don't know. All right, guys. That's it. Thanks all for joining. We will talk next time. See y'all.
See ya.
Let's see if this works.